This is the longest closing that Paul writes in any of his letters. Romans 16 and 25. Father, you're good to us, and we do surrender to you, and I just pray that each one of us does completely surrender to you. For it is amazing that you would send your Son, that you would love us so much, that a life in Christ, by placing our faith in Him, a life in Christ, we have Him, His Spirit indwelling in us. So we can tap into His power, tap into His will, tap into and follow Him. And Lord, I just pray that each one of us trusts in You, relies on You, and completely just stops trying to figure out things on their own and just says, Your will be done, by surrendering completely to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Romans 16:25 says, Now to Him who is able to establish you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever and amen. This was the end. And he talks about here about the mystery kept secret since the world began. The mysteries. The mystery. Now a mystery, you might think, is something that's not like unsolvable. A mystery in the Greek means something previously hidden or unknown. It's not like when you grow up and you were reading the Hardy Boys. Again, I'm probably dating myself, or Nancy Drew. And some of you guys are going, who is that? Right? You know? Favorite one, you know, Footprints Under the Window. That was my favorite one. But, or, you know, Sherlock Holmes, maybe a little older. But this is the mystery. Something that is revealed, not something that cannot be solved. And what is that? It has been revealed. And it is explained in two or three places in the Bible. Hebrews 8:6-8. So flip with me to Hebrews 8:6-8. Because this mystery is this new covenant, a better way, a different way. Because before, people, to get holy or get closer to God, had a list of rules and procedures and regulations to follow. And they had to go to the temple, and they had to sacrifice, and they had to see the priests. But here was this new covenant. In Hebrews 8:8-9, the mystery is explained in this new covenant. And the writer of Hebrews is quoting from Jeremiah 31:33 in the new covenant. Hebrews 8:7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, and I will remember no more. In that he says a new covenant. He has made the first one obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So instead of going through the rules and the rituals, I'll become closer to God. By the way they even dressed, or the way they prayed, or the way they ate, or even how they lived and acted, the laws are written on our hearts and in our minds. The old covenant was written on stone tablets brought down from the mountain by Moses. And it was based on keeping rules and regulations and ordinances and laws. But the new covenant, their sins. I'll be merciful to the unrighteous, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.
because of our relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ.
How His blood covers our sins, and they're written on our heart because we, in our nature, are unable to keep the law. The Word says, if we keep all the laws and just stumble on one of them, we're guilty of them all. And it's so hard to keep the laws, isn't it? Some of you might be rule followers. I gotta follow the rules. I have to follow the rules. Some of you guys are even wise enough that when you open up that toy you get for Christmas, you know how to follow and read the instructions and put it together, right? Without going, okay, here's the instructions. The first thing you do is throw it away, and you put it together. And if it works and there's a few parts over there, it's okay, right? Some of you are rule followers, and you feel comfortable by being in this little box. I love being in this little box. I can't step out this box. If I step out this box, something's going to happen. Here we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we have the freedom in Christ, and sins are remembered no more because we were unable to keep the law. The laws were external, and now where is it?
Internal,
inside of us, on our hearts. So you know, there are times you know maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Right? Maybe I shouldn't be doing that. And there's all sorts of temptations and all sorts of things in the world that the enemy will throw at you that you will go, oh, you know, it's only a little bit of thin, you know, thou shalt not have that other cookie. You'll make those rules for yourself. I won't do this, I won't do that. But the laws are written in your house and in your heart and on your mind, and they're internal. They're always there. They're always with you. And I know it makes me discouraged when I see people taking down the Ten Commandments or the pictures of Jesus out of schools that you hear all the time that happens. Guess what? They can't take those rules. They can't take Jesus out of here, can they? So He's always with you. And wherever you go, you represent Christ. Whether you're around a crowd of people or whether you're all by yourself, you're there. He's there. He's always with you, and we have that relationship. And so these laws were written on the hearts of people. And the second thing is that believers will have a relationship with God. And the New Covenant says that my thoughts, Christ's thoughts, are going to be your thoughts, that my Spirit is in you, that when you're walking with the Lord, you don't need a list of rules and regulations. Instead, you do what the Lord is writing. And often we'll go back and think, oh, Lord, you really want me to do this? You want me to obey? You want me to move? What? You want me to start this new job or start this new business? What? You want me to try out for a team even though, oh, gosh, I'm never going to make it? You want me to go to this job? Often there's all those things that happen, but we go, oh, we're even in this box. We're comfortable because, you know what? The world says not to do that because it's not safe or it's a little unusual. Or you might get teased, or whatever it is. You have the freedom to live moment by moment, day by day, for Him. And the first church, the first century churches, what did they do? They got together, they hung out, took care of the needs of the people, sold everything they had, spread the gospel, ate together, and they lived for Jesus. They didn't get together and go, you know what, before we do this, let's have this plan. Let's have this business plan or this organization chart or how it's going to succeed or whatever we're going to do. They never got together and spent hours studying the book of Romans because, of course, it wasn't written yet. They didn't get together and debate theological issues or all that kind of stuff. They understood. And they had the apostles who witnessed Jesus. And they had 500 people to witness Jesus' ascension and resurrection. And they saw and they believed and they understood this new covenant because they obeyed and put the Lord first in their lives and in their hearts. And they listened to that still, small spirit, the Holy Spirit, saying, go here, do this, talk to that person, take that treat over to that neighbor, buy that cup of coffee to that person behind. All those things. They listened to the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. And then, you know what they did? They didn't say, what? I'm not going to do that. They said, yes. And they followed. Third thing in Hebrews, it tells us that it's not only in our heart and in our minds, and we have that relationship with Jesus and we follow Him, it's we all people will be able to know the Lord personally. All of us. Not the laws, not the stipulations, not the rules, just believe and trust in Jesus. He wants all of us and everyone He created. All people to have a relationship with Him. And I think sometimes we go, you know what? That person is totally lost. Look what they're doing. I'm not even going to talk to them. They're scary. I'm not even talk to them. They are very scary. But not just for the Jews, but for everybody. Everybody. He made every sin He paid for. And so we can know God personally. But we have to go and have the boldness to ask. Because in the Old Testament rules and regulations, only certain people, the high priests, could go into the Holy of Holies in only a certain time of year, and they could have only approached God. But we, in our relationship with Jesus, can boldly approach God through Jesus Christ because of what He did for us on the cross. And it's like us, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles, for everyone. When our kids were growing up, sometimes the boys or Hannah would come and say, "Hey, Dad, I've done my work. Can I watch TV?" Or more importantly, it was like, "Hey, you know, Calvin," Michael would come, "Calvin wants to watch TV, right?" You know, you've seen that, right? Heard that, right? You know, approaching the Father, because if the Father gets mad, then you're going to want to take the blame, right? You know? But for us, we, with Jesus as covering us our sins, we can approach the throne with boldness and with confidence in Him, and we can go to Him anytime, anywhere. And all are able to know Him personally, the Lord personally, through Jesus Christ. But the thing is, sometimes I believe that we go and ask. You go ask Him. Ask Jesus for that. Ask Him for that. Rather than, "Oh, that's too big, Lord." Or "You're not going to listen to that. That's just too small." As we learned yesterday's lesson in the men's Bible study, when we ask something, we just ask it and pray it from our heart. It doesn't have to be long or eloquent, but it just has to be from our heart. And so we have that relationship with Jesus and the Lord, because there's no more sacrifice, no more laws required, and no more, because God will forgive our sins and has forgiven them, and He remembers them no more. The Bible tells us that we have to run this race with endurance. And I think when we run this race, it can be really hard, because I think we are hanging on. We put chains around our waist and we are still shackled, because we're always looking back to the things that maybe we did in the past. Or we're looking back to the sins we have committed, and we still continue to beat ourselves up over and over and over again. "Lord, oh, thank you for saving me this, but I don't even know why I did that in the first place. It could have been like last week or years ago." Where the enemy can use discouragement and sadness and brokenness to distract us from telling others about Jesus. "Yeah, I got a relationship with Jesus, but I'm so sad. They'll keep messing up. Oh, gosh." Right? Instead of going, "Woohoo," like downstairs. Do you hear that? Right? That's what we should be doing. "Woohoo! Woohoo! Our sins are forgiven and forgotten. No more." It's like He looks at us and goes, "You know, I see Jesus and I love you. Just love you. I care for you. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're wonderful. No matter what you did. No matter what you're doing. Our sins are forgiven and remembered no more." And that is a mystery to some of us. To some of us, we go, "Man, how could He even love such a wretch like me?" Now, the sacrifice of animals is no longer required, and the temple even is no more, because in AD 70, the Romans came under General Titus and destroyed it, completely destroyed the temple. And they even moved the stones because they were looking for gold. And at the time, I believe over a million people, Jews were killed in this immense battle. Now, turn with me to Ephesians 3, 8 through 12, because this other mystery, there's another mystery that is, Jesus came for both the Jews and the Gentiles. For everyone, the Jews and the Gentiles. The mystery revealed, Ephesians 3, 8 through 12. This purpose of this mystery. Because Paul was convinced in his mind and in his heart, the purpose of this mystery was that he would go and tell everyone he could about salvation, about faith in Jesus, about the gospel. The purpose of this mystery in Ephesians 3 through 8. To me, whom am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. Less than least of all the saints. Paul, I think Paul at times would beat himself up about the humility, about the things he would even say, oh, the things that I wish I wouldn't do, but I continue doing, all that. It's the battle that he had, the battle maybe from his flesh, the battle for the worldly desires, the battle for just maybe missing opportunities of telling others about Jesus. But he even says to the Paul, we think who is one of the founder, the foundation, not the foundations, but the, one of the strength, the strong person of faith, he says to, I'm the least of all the saints, that grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all see what is in the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages had been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was there in creation. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you to do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. Jesus came for everyone. So the mystery is that Jews and Gentiles will make up the body of Christ. God's grace, no longer a mystery. It's not a mystery anymore. You know it. You believe it. You believe in him. So don't keep it a secret. It's not a mystery. No longer a mystery, to show all people the fellowship of this mystery. Although in Romans 11:25, the word says that some of the Jews will be hardened for a while. So we, as believers, are to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach it, I mean, by either talking or telling or acting like Jesus. Because Jesus is seen in my life. He's seen in your life. How you react to things. How he is working in your life. Is he alive in you? And is he working in your life? And if he is, are you telling others? And when he is, are you telling others about, it's no longer a mystery. It's the mystery of God revealed. And one last section of Scripture. In 1 Timothy 3, 14 through 16, Paul writes about the mystery of godliness. Because you see, I believe in our human nature, we look and judge people according to what we wear or how we act or what we say or all those things. And we decide whether we're going to talk to that person or not, or whether they are godly or not, or whether they're religious or not. You've ever heard that, right? You are such a religious person because you go to church. No, I love Jesus. I have a relationship with him. He's my Lord, my Savior. I follow him. So 1 Timothy 3:14 through 16, the great mystery. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar, the ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed in the world, and received in glory. There's the mystery. The church, the household of God. And he's talking here about how we're to treat each other. We're to love God and love others. They should know us by our love. Each member as a member of our own family. And now I say that because sometimes our members of our own family can be the hardest ones to get along with. They really can't. But we still to love them. Because, and the church is fed on the Word of God, the church, ecclesia, which means the assembly, or the ones that are called out. And he talks about the church is the pillar, the strength, the foundation. It's built on Jesus Christ. The ground means foundation. And he lives in our life, and he's on display for all to see him. So we're to witness to him to show the work of Jesus Christ in our lives, no matter what we're going through and no matter where we're at. In our lives. Because here it spells out the mystery. Manifest in the flesh. God with us. Emmanuel, incarnate. He became man. The Word became flesh. And he dwelt among us. And often we'll turn to all sorts of different books. How-to books. How to live successfully. How to train your children. How to dress for success. You've heard that one, right? You know, how to be whatever, you know. And rather than going, Lord, success in your eyes is trusting and obeying. That's what it is. We look to Jesus. Look to his word for all the answers. Look to Emmanuel, God, with us. Justified in the Spirit. This the Holy Spirit was the work in Jesus at the baptism of the Jordan. The Spirit expanded him and for service in the form of a dove. He came down. And whatever is done and accomplished in your life for Jesus Christ is through the work of the Spirit. Witnessing, for example. In the Romans Road. In the book of Romans, there's the Romans Road. It's just a tool or a guideline you can use to witness to others. But you know what? That is even a list or full of rules and regulations. You know in your spirit when you are to speak to somebody. And it's simple as just asking the question. Do you want to know Jesus personally as your Lord and Savior? To say yes? Great. Say no? You hit him over the head with the Bible, right? No. Of course not. You just say, I'll pray for you. You know. And then you give the Lord credit. Because the Lord is drawing people to himself continuously. He draws, he calls, and yes, he wins. And the mystery to me is that he will use flawed you and flawed me to tell others about it. That's because he's so, in his humanness, he understands us completely. He wins, he draws, he calls. And we are to be obedient just by just opening our mouth and telling others about him. He was seen by angels. They minister to him. Angels are created beings. They minister to him in the desert. And they witnessed when he in his resurrection and his ascension. Imagine the angels, right? Think of that. He was preached among the nations. Every church, I believe, whether you come to this church, Calvary Chapel Elizabeth, or other Bible-believing churches, every church should have the number one thing in their doctrine is they are called to evangelize. That's why he created the church. The purpose is to evangelize. And the church, of course, this building, God gave us this building, the church is you and to me. We are to evangelize, to tell others, carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. He was believed in the world. Not all believe, but all need to hear. All need to have an opportunity. And there will be resistance. There will be anger. And there even, I believe, there will be persecution. Shortly. It'll become more intense. You're carrying your Bible to work? Why are you carrying the Bible to work? You can't speak for that.
Well, yes, I can.
Still. It's free, right? Still. Praise the Lord. And he was received up into glory. In Romans 16, back to Romans 16, Paul tells us that Jesus, this mystery is revealed, and it also says, we'll just find it, that he established us. Romans 16:25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, this establishment. We are established in Jesus Christ and in the truth. That means rooted deep, established, firm. This mystery. He's established us for one purpose, so that we can share the truth of Jesus Christ as Lord to the lost. Because Jesus came as a man. He walked the earth. He understands us. He has compassion on us. He died for us in our place. He lives in our hearts, and by believing in him and placing our faith in him, we can soar to the heavens and be with him. Salvation is available to all. And that is great and glorious mystery of the godliness. Only if we are obedient. Obedient in the faith. Not being religious, not programs, not trying harder, not a code to live by, not rules and regulations. It's Christ in us. Christ around us. It's being faithful to Jesus from your heart. It's doing what he says, thy will be done. He establishes your faith in you. And he's faithful to establish the faith in your children and in your relatives and in your neighbors and your friends, to anyone who will give their heart to him. And what a mystery is that Christ dying for us. He sent his Spirit relating to us, and we can be sure that we can make it. And there's hope and there's joy in our salvation. He established you because he lives in you. He establishes you because he loves you. He establishes you because he died for you. And that is the mystery revealed to him. To God, alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ, forever. Amen. Father, I just thank you for your word, and I just pray that each one of us has a growing and wonderful relationship with you. And Lord, if we continue to look back and look to the things that we've done in the past, Lord, forgive us. I just pray that each one of us look forward. Look forward to the day of your returning and your coming. Look forward to the day we will be called up into heaven. Look forward to running this race with endurance, because the mystery has been revealed. The scales have been removed from our eyes. Our ears are unplugged, and we can see and we can hear. But most importantly, Father, your words are written on our heart. And Lord, make us an obedient. Make us people that will just follow you completely and love you wholeheartedly. Thy will be done. And Lord, we just praise you for children. And thank you for the songs. And thank you for people downstairs just praising you and singing you to you. And I just pray that we, if there's someone here today who's been discouraged, who's been turning their back from you, Lord, I just pray that right now they just turn to you. Turn back to you and look to you. and not look to the past, and not try to figure things out themselves, but just go, Lord, your will be done. I trust in you. Because there are things in this world that are so hard, it's so big. There's health, there's finances, there's problems, there's strife, there's wars, rumors of wars. Lord, we know that you're in control of all things. And so, Lord, help us just to completely trust you and follow you. Thy will be done.